This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. This episode of Harry Potter and the Boys is brought to you by Radio Mike on Patreon and the 20th Century Boy podcast. Head to patreon.com/radiomike and for as little as a dollar a month, get a bonus podcast every week. And search 20th Century Boy on your favorite podcast app to hear more from me every week. 50 years after the final Harry Potter book, Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike. And I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote a series of 7 Harry Potter fan fiction novels. This is book 2 in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Team Wizard Tournament. Hello, Hamoras, everyone. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, Book 2, Harry Potter and the Team Wizard Tournament, a fan fiction podcast by me, Radio Mike. Oh, time-honored guest on this show, Sammy Garlep, return. Sam, how are you?
Oh, good, thanks, Mike. Great to be back. I feel like in that time I had time to rediscover Pythagoras' theorem in full just by...
It's a short theorem, A squared plus B squared
equals... Yeah, but how did you figure that out?
Yeah, it must have taken a while.
It must have taken a while for old Pythagoras.
Yeah. I wonder what he's doing now.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, but maybe there's a... Is there a sequel to the Pythagoras theorem?
Pythagoras theorem 2.
Squared.
A cubed plus B cubed equals C cubed. That's not true, guys.
It's not true. Don't
use
it.
Can we just say welcome back? And when you came to my house to record this, you were about 10 minutes late. And...
Yeah,
you came into my house with what can only be described as a relevant pre-prepared statement. Because when you came into my house 10 minutes late, do you want to share what you said to me?
Well, I said I would say sorry, Mike, but a wizard is never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
Now, a Dumbledore quote from...
Incorrect.
Oh, hang on. Okay. Is it Professor Slughorn?
No, I think it... No. I think I've taken this from the whole wrong franchise.
Oh, it's Gandalf.
You fucking idiot.
It's Gandalf.
It's Gandalf.
Wait, are you sure it's Gandalf?
No, I'm actually
That's
not sure.
Such a Dumbledore
Potter
thing.
Potter or Notter?
A wizard
That would be a good one for Potter or Notter.
Never... That is a really good one. And the wizard is never late, nor is he early. It is Gandalf.
It's Gandalf.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, but still relevant.
Still relevant. I mean, and it did take me 10 to 15 minutes to figure out what to say. In fact, I was only 1 minute late. 9 minutes was spent preparing a quote.
So you're just standing outside the front going, like, what do I say? What's my excuse?
I was riddled with anxiety. Like, how do I knock on the door?
It was really funny.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Well, and I feel like if you're ever late... You just make if you come in with a good line and make a good entrance, you completely make up for it.
Oh, because it completely dissolved any of the tension of being late. But there wasn't any. But you assumed that I made a calendar appointment for this.
Yeah.
And you assumed that meant I was on a really strict timeline.
Yeah.
When actually we're recording an hour later than we're supposed to because I don't have a strict timeline. I have heaps of time.
Asked if I had a strict timeline.
Do you have a strict timeline?
No.
No hard out. You're good. Might do a bonus hour long edition of the pod. Or
yeah. Who's with me?
Yeah. Woo, hell yeah.
No call and response on a podcast, but
no. Thanks to all the show's growing, Sam. And you have definitely, you definitely stand out as one of the highlight guests. I don't know if you listened to the bonus Our Post episodes.
Yeah, well, you know what, Mike? I bloody did.
Yeah, so, and Tommy, I believe is his name, said you were one of his favourite
guests
on the show.
Tommy Dubs. Well, shout out to Tommy W. That was really nice to hear as one of his favourites.
Mm.
It is funny that you feel like a lot of the people writing into Our Post are... Like 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Which I feel like maybe if you've gotten Harry Potter, you just search Harry Potter on podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you find your podcasts, Spotify. Yeah, because you were like contemplating, if this is appropriate for 12-year-olds, whatever. But as you said, you wrote this when you're about that age. So it kind of stands to reason like, obviously we think this fan fiction's shit, but, you know, people who are 12, you've written it for your sense of humor as your 12-year-old, so obviously this is going to be nice.
It's resonating really hard. Because we laugh at it because it's so bad, but to them it's like they're in the exact same position as the author was.
And look, I should actually, not to take some pain off that, we laugh, it is very funny.
There are funny moments, but there is a lot of stupidity as well.
Yeah. So thanks, Tommy W. And he said he listens to it every day on the way to school.
Yeah.
Which, is it a short commute? And he's just getting like quick five minutes.
Or like, yeah, because then eventually you're going back to the start, because there must be only 50 episodes, including bonus eps, right? So you're getting six.
Yeah.
You're listening to the series 6 or 7 times a year at that rate.
I'm also assuming he is catching public transport or walking to school, because if he's in the car... His mum's going to play in the car going, oh, I don't know about this.
Hagrid's doing a windmill stiffy. Interesting. if you listen to this podcast with a parent, let us know.
If you listen to this podcast...
Yeah. Let us know.
I should also reframe this for the listeners, because after your episode with Tom Bainbridge, love Tom, by the way.
Yeah, you used to go on his show, Tom and Ollie, a fair bit.
Yes, I did. We are now facing each other.
Yes.
Because we do usually... do the podcast not facing
each other. We used to film the pod, so we would sit next to each other, and then we stopped filming the pod because it was too much effort, and we still were sitting next to each other.
Yeah, it was like we're on a pretend TV show.
Yeah, like a panel show, but it's like
welcome back, and there's no camera.
Yeah, we were like trying to face the camera, but then we had to talk to each other, so we'd just kind of be sitting like, imagine your body facing forward, but your head just 90 degrees to the right.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make sense. And then Tom Bainbridge was like, why are we doing this? And I was like, oh yeah, good point. So yeah, good to be here. Have you been up to date with the show at all?
Well, I have, but I feel like I must have like passed out during Monkey D's episode, which was not, as in like, I remember all his stories, but then when I started listening to the last chapter with Tom, and you're recapping what had happened, I was like, I remember none of this.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So I don't know what I was doing during it.
From memory, Tom's chapter was they were in the library studying about the dragons for the upcoming task and the Team Wizard tournament. And the story, I don't know if I could say the story's unfolding. Like, it does just feel like we're in a stasis of day-to-day chapters. Like, nothing still has really happened in this book.
Did someone else get introduced in the last chapter? No. No. Oh, about Dingo.
Dildo. Dildo.
Yeah. I'm still keen to get in the FF. If anyone's out there, I'd just love to FF with...
Yeah, loves the FF. Well, should we get the laptop out and jump into the next chapter?
Oh, sorry, I was talking about fist fucking, but sorry.
And that's why 12-year-olds shouldn't listen to this podcast. It is interesting, though, that like... the range, the demographic of this podcast, there are lots of 12-year-old boys. Mm. And then there's lots of like girls, well, women, I guess, in their mid to late 20s, like my age girls, who I guess think it's, who are Harry Potter fans that just love this twist on the franchise that they never could have imagined.
Harry Potter fans, we're just hungry for more Harry Potter content.
Yeah.
And like... you know, like the bloody Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, revamped one, which is the revamped stage production, which has started in Melbourne, where we live.
Yep.
I don't know if you've gone to that. They re-premiered, and again, you didn't get invited.
Yeah, I do want to go see the one part reimagining, but it's so expensive.
Weirdly, so a mutual friend of ours said, oh, hey, I've got a ticket for Harry Potter tonight. And I was like, oh, I can't come. Or, you know.
Who was it?
Renee.
Oh, she should come on this pod. Do you reckon she'd like it?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Nah, yeah, she would.
Do you know as well? Oh, sorry, you keep going and then I'll tell you something.
I was going to say, she's like, oh, I've got a spare ticket for Harry Potter if you want. I was like, oh, look, I probably can't tonight. I didn't realize it was the premiere night of the thing. And she's like, oh, yeah, we went with the whole, like, Fev and Nick Cody. And Fev, who's radio now, but it was my hero.
Yeah, your footy hero. Growing up.
I was like, oh, you know what? I actually probably would have come. Yeah, more high stakes.
Yeah, yeah, right. So if Renee had told you about all the celebrity guests she was bringing, you would have gone, but you wouldn't have gone for just Renee. That says a lot about you, man.
Mm. But some of my other celebrity friends were there as well. From the other show I work on.
Yeah, sorry. Sam and I just had a moment. I will cut some of that out. But Sam and I just had a moment where I was going to say a story and I forgot what I was going to say. So we just stopped and I edited it out. And then Sam says,
sometimes in this podcast you say you're going to edit something out or you say you're going to insert a sound effect or a sting and I just don't. And that is the level. So, and if you want to avoid that, the best way to help me make this show actually good is patreon.com/radiomike. Because I only have so much time in the world and I do two podcasts of my own and I have to make money by working on other people's podcasts. But if you can donate $1 a month or $12 a year to my Patreon, you help me actually put more time into this show.
and guys, we and Mike will edit in a brand new Patreon sting here.
Yeah. If two more people join the Patreon on the day of release, I will create a Patreon sting for this. You know, after Tom Bainbridge came on the podcast, he was like, so do you edit this at all? Do you edit much at all? And I just was like, mate, I slap the intro on, I slap the outro on, and I upload it. Well, I just don't have time.
You better cut out a bit of what we talked about before. But
all right, shall we get into the double F?
Yeah, we shall.
All right.
Let's oof, jeez, you're very... The way you grabbed that laptop.
It's an old laptop. I'm ready for a new one.
I had a lot of faith in that.
I had a lot of faith, yeah.
Just for the listeners, Mike grabbed the laptop purely by the screen end.
It's because I'm holding...
a clamp, like a crab.
It's because I'm holding a microphone.
The amount of pressure you would have put on just that... Yeah, but, it, you know...
Amazing.
Okay. I always grab the laptop from, if it's open, from, you know, the heavy, the bottom end.
Yeah.
Wow, that was incredible.
Oh, I just remembered the thing I was going to say that got cut out that made us talk about all that stuff. I'll just tell it really quickly. There's a guy who works at the company that we work for, the podcast company we work for, Listener. And his name is Matt Dwyer. I don't know if you know him, but if you saw him today, you'd be like, oh, you could easily pass as Harry Potter, right? Like he sort of like looks not like Daniel Radcliffe, but he looks like Harry Potter, like long black hair, glasses, you know, and then found out from him the other day, great guy, he auditioned to be in The Cursed Child and got to the final two to play Harry and didn't get it. And he was like, I thought if I didn't get Harry, I'd definitely at least be in like the ensemble, but he didn't get ensemble either. But if you look at him, you'd be like Harry Potter. So he could have been Harry Potter in The Cursed Child.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. And now he just works at our sucky... No,
he's worked in podcasting for a while, but he also does like acting in ads and stuff.
That's shattering. Because I imagine that they were like, no, you can't be in it because now you just look too much like Harry Potter. We can't just have you as another character.
Yeah.
Because
it'd be confusing
like,
for
why
everyone.
Why does the trolley witch look exactly like Harry Potter? He's drawn his own little scar there. Like, no. I guess I could be the understudy, but...
All right, let's do it. Chapter 15, is it?
Chapter 15.
And we always start by...
reading the title of the chapter.
Now.
Chapter 15, The Australian Bull Dragon.
And I like that we're exploring the Australian magical world in this universe.
Yeah, I do. It was funny because in the last chapter, I feel like I heard Dildo be like, yep, and will probably never mention me again, maybe once or twice. Anyway, next chapter, the Australian... Like, we're back to...
That's not mentioning Dildo. That's mentioning the Australian Bull Dragon. Mm. So, you know, you never know.
Mm. Dildo? Yeah, he's just not for me. Well, never say never. All right.
I do love Dylan Dildo Dildaroni.
Yeah.
My name's Dylan. You can call me Dildo.
All right, I'm going to begin.
Yeah, go for it.
Harry Potter stood in the skirts of the Quidditch pitch, which had been covered into an area for the first task. Okay, that was a bit of a hard sentence.
Why?
Stood in the, which had been covered into an area. Covered into an
maybe
area.
Maybe turned into an area, I guess, is a better way
of putting it. Yeah, for the first task.
It's sort of like, I'm pretty sure the dragon task was on the Quidditch pitch. One of them, no, the maze was in the Quidditch pitch or something. I think so. It was converted. I think that's what I'm drawing on there.
Otherwise, they've just set up a whole bunch of
rocks.
No, and some, you know, and but I'm thinking of the grandstands, you know.
Yeah, that's bleachers. The bleachers, yeah.
I don't think, anyway. Okay. Mr. Charger and the Jim Wilkins Choir sat behind him. There were about 50 members of the Jim Wilkins Choir, and they were all identical, looking just like what we can only imagine was Jim Wilkins.
It is interesting, though, because as we understand, well, as we know, the Jim Wilkins Choir is a group of men in a choir, all of whom appear to be the same person, like a clone, perhaps. Like, maybe, is it
I'm
that?
Thinking, I'm thinking maybe this is drawn from Star Wars, Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah, like the Boba Fett. Is it Jango or Boba? It's Boba. Boba, yeah, it's Boba.
I'm pretty sure. Oh.
Yeah, Jango's the dad. No, Boba is a clone of Jango.
Yeah, Jango's okay. Okay.
So, because Boba was in the original trilogy and then the prequel trilogy.
Yes, and he's also Jango. In the Mandalorian Plus series.
Yeah.
No, he's just Boba Fett.
Yeah, but he's also in Mandalorian.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
So just so people know, Jango Fett was a guy in Star Wars who cloned himself. That's why there was like the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And one of them he took for himself and he called him Boba Fett, who ended up being a bounty hunter.
Yeah, and then Boba Fett's son was Dildo Fett, I believe. but anyway.
Dylan yeah, Dylan Fett. Yeah.
That's Dylan Fett to you. Dildo Fett was my father. Anyway.
So you're saying it's like a clone situation?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're saying they all look like Jim Wilkins, which you don't even know who Jim Wilkins is.
That's true.
Maybe Jim Wilkins is the Jango Fett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we assume... Yeah, we don't really know, and no one's asking questions about it, but there are 50 identical men. I believe they wear white tuxedos. I think in the cover... The podcast cover, you can see Jim Wilkins or like a member of the Jim Wilkins choir on the cover of this podcast.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So far, so good. Harry was pottering around nervously. Really like that.
Luke was skywalking around the planet.
That's a really good, I feel like that's a good literary device.
Surprise that JK never employed that device.
Yeah.
Harry was pottering around.
Yeah, or like, oh, Ron weaseled out of his charms class.
Hermione drank Grange, the Penfolds expensive wine that we used to sell at Dan Murphy's for like $800 a bottle.
That's true. They are very expensive. okay. Harry was pottering around nervously, biting his fingernails. One of them actually he bit completely off and it was bleeding everywhere.
Oh. Chaos for Harry. That's anxiety to the max.
He's really ripped one off. That's gross.
Wow. And do you feel it? I feel like we're setting a scene here, you know? Mm. It's a windy, cold day. The wind is blowing. Harry's like, what's going on?
Well, I mean, I'm picturing it like the dragon task.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, it is that.
Yeah. It literally is that task.
Winston, Harry said hesitatedly. Not a word. Remind me again why we are doing the Team Wizard tournament. Mr. Charger looked like a grumpy toddler and rolled his eyes.
So Harry, this is interesting though, because there's a part of Harry here that is kind of like, what are we doing this for? Why are we making these kids fight this dragon? And Mr. Charger's I'm assuming that's what he says.
Early prediction, maybe Harry is under, you know, we know he's dumb, but maybe he's under a really, really kind of a weak, imperious, yeah.
Well, some people say, apparently in the first book, I can't remember the chapter, but apparently Harry was 14. Hit by, was it?
No.
Harry was hit by...
I don't know what you're going to say. How do I know that?
I don't know. Harry was hit by a memory charm in the first book, in the past or something.
Oh, in this book?
No, in the first book. In the first Harry Potter and the Boys book.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the 8th Harry Potter book in my timeline.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And that might affect why he's like this, but I think it's all trauma.
Okay, Mr. Charger. Ugh. If I've only... Now that's my fault. Ugh. I've only explained it to you 500 times, Harry. If we do the Team Wizard tournament, it looks really good on you as a headmaster because it's an extracurricular activity and the Ministry of Magic might give us extra funding for the school to do stuff.
Which is like what you would say to a child if they were like, why are we doing this? Oh, you get this, obviously.
But it also sounds like, this is just you growing up in the private education system. Like, well, if we do this, it looks good, so we get extra funding.
If we do this rowing regatta, we might get some funding.
For some more boats. But we're like, but if we didn't do that, why do we need the boats?
I just love, like, Mr. Judge's making it out like it's so obvious. Oh, Harry, obviously we'll get all this extra funding if we do this.
It's
so obvious.
And if that didn't convince him, this next line will, because Mr. Charger continues. And also, chicks will really like you and think you're hot.
Great, that's good.
That would convince me.
Because I feel like when you are 13, like i.e. me, you do want to know, do chicks think I'm hot?
Yeah. Because what
which I now know is no. But but at that time, I was, it was 50-50. Exactly. It was like Schrodinger's cat. Either I'm hot or I'm not, or I'm both.
I love it when things are 50-50 when they're not. Because it wasn't. All right. So if we go ahead with the Team Wizard tournament, chicks will think I'm hot, said Harry.
That's what Harry goes to.
Yes, said Mr. Charger.
He doesn't care about the funding. Yeah, yeah. He's like, wait, so chicks will think I'm hot?
Yeah, of course, man.
Yeah.
Mr. Charger, yes, Mr. Charger. Does that mean chicks don't already think I'm hot? Said Harry. That's a real moment. Harry's just like, oh, crap.
I'm not hot. Of course I have to do the Team Wizard tournament.
But I am the chosen one.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, God, this is a conversation. I think some might, but more will if we do the tournament. Besides, everyone is already arriving, said Mr. Charger. So we can't stop now. Everyone's here.
Look, people are arriving. Yeah, we can't just not do it.
And like, him genuinely looking at Harry going, I think some chicks might. I guess if you're into that, yeah. Whole look.
I just love, like, the elementary nature of the term chicks. Like, yeah. I would never say chicks. Now as an adult man.
No, someone recently, maybe it was at my footy club or something, were like, oh, yeah, someone said my bird.
Oh, like, I hate that.
Yeah. I was like,
ladies listening to the pod, surely the being referred to as a chick by a man is not, like, enjoyable.
A bird probably... Probably worse.
Yeah, probably worse. Anyway, I would never use it now, but I guess when you're in year seven, you're like, oh, let's take the tram home. There's chicks.
Yeah, there'll be chicks. There'll be chicks.
And then you just stand awkwardly.
Oh, my God. I'm having absolutely awkward flashbacks to, like, I remember there's one girl that a couple people kind of knew that got on the train at that one station and a group of like 15 of us would honestly be like, oh, let's go to this door.
Oh.
And then be like, oh, because she'll be there.
Right.
And then she'd get on and then everyone would just be like, not say anything. And like one guy might talk to her.
Yeah.
But like then, because it's also a packed training, it's like one guy talking to one girl and then 12 other guys.
Just hanging around
pretending to look around somewhere else. And then she'd get off the train and be like, oh yeah, how good was that? We're all talking to her.
It's like, yeah, no, yeah.
You didn't talk to her.
Because for people who don't know, like when you go to an all-boys school, and maybe it's the same when you go to an all-girls school, like just the idea of talking to a girl, you're just like, wow, I just cannot believe I was just talking to a girl. I know that sounds crazy, but it is like that.
Oh, like, and then if we got off the train, if I'd said, because there's one guy that talked to her a lot, and then if I kind of, you know, weaseled my way into the conversation and said like two words, I'd be like, rest of the day. I was on
wow, cloud nine. Meant that much to you.
And I'd be like looking at those other guys like, yeah, I actually talked to her. So you guys are all cowards.
All right. Me and Sam just had to have another off-air conversation. We're back now. We're
making this so hard for Mike to edit, which he won't. All right. Here we go. This is Harry speaking. Some of the other teachers was saying that you actually want to run the Team Wizard tournament because you wanted to kill off a bunch of students that stopped your plans of bringing back Lord Voldemort last year, said Harry.
Okay. Interesting again, because it does suggest that there are... Because one of the big questions, I think, is Hermione does seem aware of the barbaric nature of everything going on at Hogwarts, but she seems powerless to stop it.
Oh, yeah. What's she doing?
Yeah. So one of the big questions is, why is Hermione staying silent in all of this? And this reveals that there are some teachers going, hey, Harry, just so you know, this is going on.
Yeah, which teachers do you reckon are speaking up, though?
Don't know, because it's not Hermione. Mm. Professor Longbottom, perhaps?
Hagrid?
Hagrid! You better go to potions now.
You better go to potions now. I don't know why he would. So he's probably not saying anything. Okay. Mr. Charger held Harry's hand and looked at him in the eye. Just one eye.
Just one hand.
Just held one hand and looked in one eye.
This is so romantic. It's like, hey, Winston, some people are saying that, you know, you're trying to bring Lord Voldemort back.
Harry, now Mike and I are holding hands.
Harry, come on. I bet it's something like that following up.
Fucking hell, Mike. Get out of your own brain.
I can picture it.
Looked him in the eye. Harry, come on.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Harry, come on me. No, sorry. Come on. You know me. Sorry.
You know me. I think it's more like,
Harry, come on. you know me. Would I do that? Would I?
He said, did he say that?
Yeah. That's what he said.
Would I do that to you, Harry? And the answer
have
is...
Have I ever wronged you before?
Yeah, as we know, the readers, yes, he would.
Yeah. And then Harry goes, I don't know.
Which is a great response. Like, I don't know, would you?
He goes, I wouldn't, said Mr. Charger. And which teachers said that, by the way? I want to have a chat to them.
you know, as soon as you hear that line, you can see what's happening from a mile away.
Yeah. Oh, and this does answer our question then. So Harry goes, Professor Seamus Finnegan definitely said it, said Harry. Okay, I'll be right back, said Mr. Charger.
So I believe we learned Seamus is the Muggle Studies professor or something like that, which is doesn't quite add up, does it?
No, because I feel like he was the most clueless to that kind of stuff.
And you do think like...
Oh no, what is that?
His mum's
me mam's a witch. Dad's a muggle.
Yeah.
Damn.
Bit of a nasty shock for him when he found out.
Yeah.
But the thing with, when you think about characters like Seamus, what does Seamus do when he finishes at Hogwarts? Honestly, what can you picture him doing? Running a bar?
Yeah.
Because like you think, I think Seamus was one of the dumb kids. You get the vibe he was one of the dumb kids.
Yeah, so like real estate?
Selling magic houses.
Life coach?
Life coach. That's a good
one. Can picture it like he'd just be one of those ones that just, he's now just wears a suit and goes to some random fucking job.
And do you reckon he tells everyone at parties that he was at the Battle of Hogwarts and he was friends with Harry Potter at school?
Yeah.
And he still thinks they're kind of friends, but they're not. But he still like goes, oh yeah, I see Harry all the time. I chatted to him via Owl last week.
This is exactly like when you go, someone in your E-level at school ends up playing AFL.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was mates with them at school.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, mates with them. It's like, oh, when did you see him last? Oh, yeah, when we graduated 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Still mates with them.
Still mates. We chat all the time. I see him on TV a lot.
Every time they get a touch, you're like, yeah, Libba, I knew him.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like with me and Tim McDonald, like, who's now on the cheap seats, obviously. Like,
yeah.
The other day I was at my parents' house and the cheap seats was on TV and Tim McDonald, who went to our school, is the host of that show. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, oh, these guys are pretty funny. And I'm just like, went to school with Tim. He was in my homeroom. Dad's like, did he really? Was he really? I'm like, yep. And it's like, I am friends with Tim, I would say.
Yeah, he's been on this podcast.
But it's like, I don't talk to Tim every day. But like,
no one does.
No, yeah, except maybe his wife or his fiance.
And well, maybe not even then.
Yeah. But then I was just like, yeah, like if I was at a party, I would always be like, oh, Tim in my homeroom at school. Like it's my claim to fame kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah. But
If I were you, I'd be claiming Tim. I wouldn't be like Tim in my homeroom at school, but like you'd be saying he's your friend.
Yeah. But I feel like the peak of me seeing Tim, like the most times I've ever seen him, in 1 year is during school in homeroom.
Sure.
Like I've seen him once this year, if you don't count on TV. You know what I mean?
And I do.
Okay, and I've seen him heaps of times. But yeah.
That's just randomly remind me of, the chat we've been on this podcast about electricity.
Oh, and magic.
And magic.
Yeah.
And interfering.
Mm.
Which I'm like, that just sounds like bullshit. And they're like, oh, there's no electricity in Hogwarts because it interferes with magic or some shit like that. Wait, is that what it is? Or is it magic interferes with that electricity?
Yeah, electricity interferes with magic, I think. Or both.
I think that's an important distinction to me, mate.
Really?
Because let's say you're doing a Avada Kedavra and I just charge my phone in the middle of it.
Oh, it sucks it in.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important which way it goes.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know which way. I think it's electricity interferes. No, I think it's magic interferes with electricity. So if you use Avada Kedavra, you'll still kill... But the lights might turn off, so you might be
flicker a little bit. Oh, that's annoying. I'm dead.
Too bad you're dead.
I could get someone in to fix that.
Why did that remind you of that?
Because it reminds me of when you're on a plane and people, they're like, oh, turn your phone off. It interferes with the navigation system.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. And the same thing when I go into the cheap seats, the TV show, which Tim is on and I work on. And now that we've got real audience members in there and I sit with them, they always go, everyone, turn your phones off, not just on silent. They need to be powered down to off because they interfere with the auto cue.
Oh, that's so bullshit. The auto cue, which is like running off some software designed in Windows 98.
There's absolutely no chance. Like, what they're going to be reading, like, oh, and this week in the election, send me a pic of that big dick boy. What? Whose phone is that?
Someone's phone is on. We told you.
We told you it interferes. There's no... And are people still... And they're looking at me. I'm like, mate, I'm kind of like, mate, I work here. I can have my fucking phone on. Like, I'm
it's
here.
Like, yes. Oh, so your phone is on as an employee. Like, of course, you're not turning yours off. But then the
because I'm sitting in the audience, the security and stuff are like, hey, mate, I'm like, I'm not. I just look at them like, it's I'm not.
I work for here and... It doesn't interfere with the auto cue.
And like, and even they're saying this, are people, do they still think people are that dumb?
Yeah. Like, what could possibly be happening with your phone that it's going to the auto cue and the auto cue's like, what, scrambling and then sucking you into the matrix and you're like, oh my God, who had their phone on? It's just like ludicrous. The auto cue, this is how auto cue works. You type stuff in to a program designed on Windows 98 and then it appears on the auto queue.
Yeah.
There is nothing else to it than that.
They're probably directly plugged into each other.
Exactly.
Anyway,
back to the chat.
Sorry, back to the...
That was a good detour. I think people like our detours.
Okay, I hope so.
Guys, write in with your auto queue mishaps.
But just when... And like people... So you see people on their phones on the plane. You know, they're like, oh no, phones interfere the navigational system. Then you see, you know, when like celebrities and... politicians are on their planes, like Air Force One. They're on the phone, blah, blah, blah. Oh,
and you know
it
what
doesn't
else?
Affect it.
If it was actually a risk, like a serious risk of death or plane crash if phones were on, you wouldn't be allowed to bring phones on
the
plane.
That's so true.
That's why we can't bring knives on a plane and explosives on a plane because there's like it's dangerous. If it was that dangerous, it would be like you're not allowed a phone on a plane.
Yeah.
It's not
dangerous.
Or you
have to put them all in a locker or something.
Yeah. Oh. And that's why you can't bring knives to an auto cue studio.
Yeah.
Could stab the auto cue. Who's going to, how are you going to read it?
Exactly. That's the only reason. All right. I'm going to go
where
on.
Where are we?
Professor Seamus Finnegan was definitely one of the ones who.
Okay. What do you mean? Now, this isn't looking good for Seamus.
No. Okay. Mr. Charger continues. Okay. I'll be right back, said Mr. Charger. Jim Wilkins Choir, why don't you distract Harry with a song?
And is there a gap in there because you did okay
there was I will tell you right now there is 8 dots
okay yeah
so dot so dot like, dot
why don't you
dot dot
yeah why don't you distract Harry with a song
and there was a real and probably too many dots
and they
go on ring 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 with the trolley clang 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 with the bell the team wizard tournament is starting soon and what's that disgusting smell
interesting
okay I'm Am I glad this song is still making an appearance? I can't say I am.
This is the new Derek is a disgrace to all wizards, I think.
Yeah, and it just it's funny because you make everyone who reads this has to sing this stupid freaking song.
I don't even remember this.
And it's still always wrong.
Yeah, and I still don't remember this song ever being
a part of
my life, except that it's in that Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode with Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, that's probably it.
It's like, what? I saw this Simpsons Treehouse of Horror and was like, I have to, this has to be the song.
Yeah,
that they
how
sing.
Is that the one? But yeah, like, you're like, out of a Simpsons episode, that's probably not the funniest part of the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Mr. Charger returned, covered in blood and several guts.
Several guts, which implies he's killed multiple creatures because you only really have one gut.
Yeah, I guess, but it's, the small intestine, the large intestine.
True, that is true.
You know, whether you count the bladder and stomach and...
But if you are going to rip someone's guts out and murder them, which it seems Mr. Charger has done, you would think you'd dispose of the guts before returning to where you're supposed to be. Like, you know, imagine if like... You know, just say we just had the election here in Australia. Yeah. Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese. Scott Morrison goes and murders Albo and comes back to the podium to do a speech covered in intestines.
He's like, it looks like I won. Yeah. All right. What happened? Said Harry. Oh, nothing, except, oh my God, Seamus Finnegan has been killed. Oh my God.
Oh no.
Call the police. Oh no, we don't have police.
They don't.
Oh no, Harry. Everyone's going to think it was you. You might have to hide the body. I'll cover for you. I won't say anything.
So Mr. Charger has blatantly gone and murdered Seamus Finnegan in the space of the time it takes the Jim Wilkins Choir to sing one song. Yeah. And he comes back and just goes, everyone's going to think it was you.
Yeah, he's convinced him. Yeah, everyone's going to think it was you. Because, I mean, and Harry be having flashbacks to Cedric.
That's true. And if I recall correctly, not sure if this comes up, maybe it's alluding to the fact that at the start of this book, didn't Harry say, like, I'm no longer head of giving head, Seamus Finnegan is now?
Yeah.
Do you think it's related to that?
No.
I don't know. He's angry about it. So that's what Mr. Charger's saying. Like they're going to think it's you because he took your job as head of giving head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry scream and look panicked. So not screams, but Harry... But it wasn't me. I was here being distracted by the Jim Wilkins Choir. And acknowledging he was being distracted. Like, he's like, I got to do something. Oh, geez, these guys are... I just love the cut of these guys' jibs. And clang, clang, clang. Wait, what was happening?
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Oh, no, I was distracted. He goes, I didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, my God. Fuck. 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 It wasn't me, I swear.
This is chaos. This is amazing. But, like, the impressionableness of Harry to just be like, oh, everyone's going to think it's me, but I'm innocent. Like no one's going to think it's me.
Immediate panic.
You were here. There's a witness.
This is all in capitals. That's why I'm kind of shouting.
Yeah. Love this read.
Oh, my God. Amazing read. And I think this is still now back to Mr. Charger. I know that, but they don't. Harry.
This isn't just... Mr. Charger is just, like, he clearly knows that Harry will just, like, take anything literally.
He's gaslighting Harry. Gaslighting Harry. Harry, they'll think it's you. Of course they will. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Harry, I know that, but they don't. Harry, you need to hide the body. No one is going to believe you. You've killed him. You've killed Seamus Finnegan. Harry Potter killed Seamus Finnegan. He's yelling it. He's yelling it. He goes, that's what people will be saying.
He is gaslighting. He was like, this is what people are going to be saying.
And because I am saying it. I'm yelling it. And people are overhearing it.
And now he's just like, I didn't though. I didn't.
It's a good way to do it.
I can just imagine Mr. Chuch is like shaking Harry, being like, you got to hide the body.
It is a good thing. You just quit. You go the blame game straight away.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like when you're kids and like one sibling did something. You're like, it was him.
Yeah.
If you get in first.
Yeah. So much of the argument is swayed against
them. Who ate all the chocolate that I had for cooking? It was Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
So absolutely. You get in first. It's good. Yeah.
Gets you.
That's what people say. Get the body and run, Harry. Go. I'll cover for you. Here's a shovel. Sector Sempra.
Ah.
And then... Mr. Charger,
is this a reference to the... Okay, go on.
Yeah, Mr. Charger used the Sector Sempra, which is Sectum Sempra, spell... Oh, no, from book one, to transfigure a teacup into a shovel.
Oh, my God. I don't know if that... Who was on that chapter.
It
might have been you. In book one, in Transfiguration, there was a whole point of they learning a new spell called Sector Sempra to turn a teacup into a shovel. And then Michael accidentally uses Sectum Sempra. And Hermione says, Sector Sempra, not Sectum Sempra.
Oh, classic.
And that throwaway line about a seemingly useless spell to turn a teacup into a shovel now comes back in book two. And that is the literary genius of this book.
And it's worked.
And it's worked.
It's actually applies perfectly.
Yeah.
Now I can nearly stop yelling. Harry ran down the skirts of the Quidditch pitch and grabbed Seamus's dead body. Now,
so Seamus must have just been around the corner or something.
Yeah, and I also it's funny that you've used the term skirts of the Quidditch pitch a lot.
Isn't it like I think it's like the skirts. Yeah, I think so.
I'm
the squirts. The skirts. Not the squirts. The skirts of the footy pitch.
I got the squirts out here.
The skirts of the cricket pitch, maybe?
I mean, the outskirts is a term I'm familiar with.
I'm pretty sure...
Like, it kind of makes sense, but...
Go round or pass the... No, I'm not sure.
It nearly applies, but...
It nearly... No, here it is. Skirts. Be situated along or around the edge of...
Okay.
So it's like the skirts.
Yeah.
The diameter, I guess.
I guess it's the skirts, and then further out than that is the outskirts.
The outskirts, yeah. But we're just in the skirts at the moment.
The out squirts.
The squirts.
Sorry, that was so irrelevant.
Actually, skirts apparently also means attempt to ignore or avoid dealing with. So we probably should have skirted this conversation.
Hey! And it is, it's also an item of clothing worn predominantly by women. But
that is true.
Identifying.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't have known that at this point. I'll never forget this, Winston.
Is that Harry?
He's Harry. You're always looking out for me. I'll hide the body. Don't tell anyone. Who will I play wizard's chess with now?
Because I believe when Ron Weasley died in the first book, Harry rang. Didn't Harry like ring Seamus and be like, hey, do you want to play wizard's chess? Ron's died. So now all of his wizard's chess friends are dying.
Yeah, that's sad.
Sad.
Oh, and now it's another song. Ring, ring, ring with the trolley. Clang, clang, clang with the bell. Seamus Finnegan is dead now, and we hope that we sent him to hell.
Oh. Because there has been some ambiguity.
We sent him to hell, so maybe the so Jim Wilkins Choir and Mr. Charger linked.
Yes. And
their motivation.
It does feel like that is confirmation that the Jim Wilkins Choir are, in fact, evil.
Oh, here we go. This is even more. I should have just read ahead.
Because I think in the previous chapter, it was like, the boys were like, oh, the Jim Wilkins Choir are a great presence. They can't be evil. They're so nice.
They
but
can't
like,
be.
You know, wanting Seamus Finnegan to go to hell seems pretty, that seems pretty mean.
Yeah. I mean, Seamus, it wasn't everyone's favorite, but,
yeah,
you know. Mr. Charger and the Jim Wilkins Choir laughed an evil, devilishly laugh with each other. Devilishly. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Devilish would have been fine.
Yeah. Devilishly laugh.
They all laughed. So they all laughed together. Okay. Evilly. So I don't know how that would happen if they were all up.
Yeah, so it's like...
Well, don't tell them that, said Mr. Charger. Are you talking to me, the narrator?
Does the narrator say that?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Because it's not in quotations. And then...
Yeah, so whenever the narrator talks, like, whenever the narrator has dialogue, there's no quotation marks.
Of course not.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yes, don't tell them that it was evil and devilish. Then they're going to know that the Jim Wilkins is that Jim Wilkins is evil too, which is kind of supposed to be a mystery. Well, it has been a mystery
now it's not.
Well, actually, it wasn't. I mean, we always thought, you know, it was.
Well, but the author was giving you hints that maybe you were wrong about the Jim Wilkins Choir.
Well, here we go. And... Mr. Charger and Jim Wilkins laughed a seemingly innocent and certainly not devilish laugh with each other.
Now, that is interesting because that suggests that Mr. Charger has the power to override the narrator.
Yeah,
or like
or
the narrator
intimidate the narrator.
Yeah, that is interesting if we're treating the narrator as a character. Yeah.
Actually, you wrote devilish, not devilish. Anyway, so you wrote
devilishly.
Oh, no, then you got devilish right.
Ah.
When Mr. Charger spoke, and then you wrote devilish. I like that this book is a lot like the podcast. No edits. You never edit.
And that's kind of one of the creative decisions of the podcast.
Just quickly, no poo yet. No poo chat or bum. We haven't had one bum.
Can I say, this has been a great chapter. Yeah, I've been loving this chapter.
Same.
Really action-packed.
Yeah. It's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially last one where they're in the library the whole time. And the chapter before where they just talked to another kid for a whole chapter.
And the other one they talked about the stiffy. One of the
Hagrid got a stiffy in a seemingly unrelated class.
Yeah. Okay. That's better, said Mr. Charger. About the
narrator, yeah.
Suddenly, Harry was back.
Oh.
Harry, what are you doing here? Said Mr. Charger. I got halfway to the Forbidden Forest with the shovel and the corpse when I realized I have to tell you something important. I couldn't keep running unless I knew for sure that you knew this.
Oh, said Harry. Okay. What is it? This is going to be... Do you reckon it's a big reveal?
Almost certainly.
Okay. Well, you can see it because I can't see the laptop. You can see it, so you know what he's
sometimes
about.
Sometimes I leave a little mystery for myself and I don't scroll. I don't
scroll. So have you not scrolled or can you see what he's about?
I did see it. What is it? Said Mr. Charger.
Okay.
Derek is a disgrace to all wizards, said Harry.
All right, so pause for one sec. Because Harry, he's just been gaslit into believing that everyone's going to blame him for the murder of his friend and colleague.
And he's not even thinking, at this point, he's not even thinking, who did murder him? He's just thinking, oh no.
I'm being framed.
This is a problem. Yeah, there's a problem in front of me. I've got to solve it.
His rational mind is not working. I mean, it never does. He might have something,
because,
right?
Because, yeah, you can only focus on what's in front of him.
Yeah. He's told to bury the body.
Yep.
He gets a shovel, grabs the corpse. He's carrying a corpse across the school grounds.
If I was him, I'd be using leather corpus.
Yeah, it's clever.
Is that the one?
Yeah. And you would think, you know, he's hoping no one's seeing him with this corpse because that's going to add smoke to the fire that he killed.
Yeah.
Seamus. And he gets...
Fuel to the fire.
Fuel to the fire.
Sorry, I'm
not indeed. Smoke to the fire. And he gets halfway to the forest and goes... I've got to remind Mr. Judger, I might not make it out of this alive. Yeah. Someone's got to carry the message on.
Just flips the body onto the
grass.
Out of Hagrid's hut or something.
Yeah.
I also picture Harry running like with his legs to the side in a comical way.
Yeah. And then he goes back and this is the message he had to deliver.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, he says that, said Harry, as he turned around, ran back down, flailing his arms in the air. Flailing.
What?
It's got flailing, like the smoke of a flame burning out. A beautiful wild flail. That's what you've written.
Wait, what? So he says that to Mr. Charger and then he goes, he's just flailing around, running back down to the body.
Yeah.
So read it again.
So Derek is disgraced to all wizards, said Harry, as he turned around and ran back down, flailing his arms in the air. Flailing, like the smoke of a flame burning out, a beautiful wild flail.
That really paints a picture.
It does, but yeah, it feels like you were trying hard there. Yeah. It's good.
Wow.
It was like magic the way his arms flailed through the air. An innocent man running, believing he was guilty of a serious crime, flailing into the moonlight. Into the moonlight.
Isn't it the daytime? Flailing like a flame.
I love that. Yeah, you've really lent into your creative writing there.
I just love that Harry's flailing like he's running around.
And it's somehow beautiful. he's like the wacky waving arm flailing inflatable tube man.
Yeah, but just imagine like for a second at our school, our headmaster of our school flailing through the school courtyard.
Yeah, that would be really weird.
Be like, what?
Not quite the same, but what you do, you don't know if, I remember, you wouldn't see that at school, but you would see kids doing the, what I feel like is, the real name is the Naruto run. Is that the right thing?
Naruto run, yeah. Naruto's an anime character. I've never seen it though.
Yeah. And doesn't he do that thing where they run with their arms behind?
Yeah.
And I feel like I always called it Naruto, and then someone who watches it was like, no, it's Naruto. I don't know if that's right.
It's a bit of a Leviosa kind of thing, isn't it?
Sure is. And that one of them is right, one of them is wrong. The boys were getting ready for the first task without Lockie, who had been remarkably distant all year. Probably something to do with that ridiculous and overdrawn out Gemini Jones subplot or something.
Which has been, you know, it's about time. We've been wondering about the Jim Wilkins choir. We got that confirmed. They are evil. But we don't know about Lockie and Gemini.
Jones and whatever I uncovered another... My other theory the other time about Lockie Lockhart and Gilderoy Lockhart.
We're wondering about that.
They met up with Gorby Bolonsky, the third year, who was going to be in their team for the Team Wizard Tournament.
That's right, Gorby.
Why am I here? Said Gorby, who was just a genuine guy trying to get through each day of school like the rest of us and didn't want any trouble.
Poor Gorby. I mean, I sense his demise is coming.
I'm just a normal guy. Mr. Charger is trying to kill us. I don't know why you're involved, said Michael. I'm not involved. I don't want this, said Gorby.
So Gorby is actually responding the way Harry should have responded to the Triwizard Tournament. Like, I don't want this. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And like, I'm out. I don't.
Yeah. You know, I'm just not competing.
The power of no. Well done, Gorby.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake, Gorby. This is serious business. We don't have a choice, said Rob. I hate this, said Gorby. I like that he's speaking his truth.
Yeah.
The entire Quidditch pitch was empty. It didn't seem like any of the students had any remote interest in the Team Wizard Tournament.
It didn't before Mr. Charger was like, oh, everyone's arriving. Yeah. Which means he was further gaslighting it. And I just love that, like, no one is about this. Everyone's like, no one wants this.
Stay in bed. Which is kind of the opposite, you know, because I feel like...
We've got muggle studies with Professor Finnegan.
Why did they put it during school, you know? We're watching a movie in Muggle Studies.
Yeah. Like, we're watching Shrek 2.
Yeah, watching Shrek.
It's a wet day timetable.
They didn't have... Oh, yeah. The team was on, which was... There was no interest in it, which was clearly a scheme by Mr. Charger to murder the boys, in brackets, except for Lockie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not even Lockie is here, said Sam. Isn't he one of our friends, said Tom. I guess, said Luke. He's been hanging out with that Slytherin kid, Gemini Jones, said Michael. Oh, yeah. I heard the narrator mention that earlier. So overdrawn, if you ask me. Just tell us what it's about. Anyway.
Because you also have to assume Lockie and Gemini are having that discussion, yeah. But we're not in on it.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're showing us the not interesting part. Anyway, I wonder what they're doing, said Rob. Like,
Jesus Christ.
I also like when we haven't heard from the boys in a while, you do a list of dialogue that one person has a line each just to remind us they're still there. Suddenly, Mr. Charger's voice sounded in a microphone. Okay. Maybe he used sonorous.
Mm.
The first task will begin right now. There's a dragon. You got to kill it. It's an Australian bull dragon, just like Dylan Dildaroni said in that other chapter, said Mr. Charger.
I just love the obvious unofficial nature of this.
Yeah, he's like, and there's no one here, but I guess we just get started now.
Yeah, right now.
While they're all just like sitting around getting ready. Immediately, an enormous fiery dragon flew out from Hogwarts. Ooh. Several students died of shock when they saw it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They must have weak hearts.
Why can't Mr. Charger just use Avada Kedavra on him and just kill him?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Kill the boys.
And no one's even there. He just killed Seamus Finnegan.
Yeah, there's no witnesses.
Several students died of shock when they saw it, and several others died because as it was flying over the Hogwarts grounds, it did a poo. And dragon poo is so heavy that if it fell on you, not only would it stink you up, but it would kill you up.
I love
never gonna stink you up, never gonna kill you down, gonna run around.
But what I love is
poo on you. Sorry.
Stink it up isn't a phrase. Yeah. So it's like kill it up. Yeah, but it's like if you were gonna say, oh, you know, if a bird shits on you, it's gonna stink you up. And
you wouldn't say that.
But the author's like, it won't just stink you up. It'll kill you up. It's like stink you up isn't even a phrase anyway.
Exactly. You're making it. Anyway, so.
It'll kill you up.
I'm glad there was finally a mention of poo.
Yeah.
And students unnecessarily
the customary poo reference, the customary innocent students being killed.
It's incredible there are any. No wonder no one's at the tournament. There's probably no students left.
The parents are like, just stay away from. Just go to the classes. Yeah. Stay away from anything unusual.
What's funny is that. The whole book is about, you know, possibly like trying to kill the boys.
Yeah.
And that these boys will be killed. They're the only students so far at Hogwarts that haven't died. It's like, oh, God damn it.
There are children dying accidentally every
time.
And Mr. Charger can't just like literally get the dragon to like jump. Like, surely it's so easy to kill them.
Like, what are the chances that they're the ones that have survived? They're more likely to die. Anyway.
All this chaos. Yeah.
This is a long chappy.
Yeah, is it nearly? I think it's nearly dark, surely.
I don't know. I'm only just looking at it. The dragon flew over to the boys and looked at them. And the boys all remarked on the absurdity of this entire situation possibly being able to take place in a school, that they were simply left to their own devices while their bumbling headmaster rushed to bury a body he didn't kill, students were dying all around them, and their sinister murderous potion teacher watched on in delight in what can only be described as some kind of dystopian nightmare.
That was a beautiful paragraph.
Dystopian nightmare, perfect.
That was kind of like that reference to Harry Potter, the whole Triwizard Tournament is kind of this. It's like, I mean, this is barbaric.
Did you actually know what the word dystopian meant?
Yeah, because we did The Giver in year 6 at our school. And yeah. Have you read The Giver?
Yeah.
It was a dystopia.
I guess it was, rather than a utopia.
Mm, the opposite of utopia.
Mm, gonna, yeah.
And you know why they call it a utopia? Because of you, Sam. I love you. No, keep going.
I gotta go. all right. Quick, hide behind that rock, said Michael, which, you know, that's kind of like what he does in the actual tournament.
Yeah, it's exactly what he does.
All of the boys, except for Gorby, who was an idiot with a capital I, ran behind a rock. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I feel like we know what's coming, and if you're a listener...
You know what's coming.
If you're a big Gorby Bolonsky fan, maybe avert your ears.
because this really is a dystopia if you're Gorby.
Suddenly, the dragon breathed a horrible fire and killed Gorby Bolonsky, a character who has no importance in this book and will never appear in any Harry Potter-related media ever again.
Neck minute. Gorby Bolonsky figurines at Universal Studios.
But making a killing.
But that sucks.
Yeah, Gorby was dead.
Oh, it says that.
Yeah.
He's dead. Mm-hmm. Two deaths in this, well, multiple deaths. Wow. Two named deaths.
Gorby, R.I.P.
Poor Gorby. People really liked Gorby. I feel like there was a lot of hype around him.
I feel like the boys kind of liked him as well. He was, you know.
He had a really good arc.
Yeah, he did.
He showed up. He said he didn't want to do this, and then he died.
Yeah. And was he dead? Well, just to be sure, Rob poked him in the eye with a stick. So delicate. Yep, he's dead all right, said Rob. Oh, we're nearly done. The dragon apologized and they all agree.
I can just picture them. I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah. The dragon apologized and they all agreed it was just a big misunderstanding and no charges would be pressed. End of chapter.
It was a misunderstanding.
Look. Hey, look,
oh,
you guys.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. I just sneezed and the fire came out and Gorby. Yeah, look, don't worry.
Look, Dragon, it was a misunderstanding. Mistakes happen. He's irrelevant to the story. They'll never be referenced.
Yeah, ever again. Let's just leave it and, shake hands and go our separate ways.
Of course, we'll report it, but we won't be pressing charges. Oh. Anyway.
That's a bit grim.
Yeah, that's a bit grim.
I don't know, but we'll, you know, I'm sure we can get someone to look into that.
But I do love that the dragon, who up until this point was just this monstrous fire-breathing dragon, seemingly set out to
and
kill the
pooing
boys.
Pooing on people. It just killed other students by pooing on them.
And killing them from the shock of its existence.
Yeah.
And then he kills Gorby. Everyone's like, oh my God, this is just a trap. No, dragon, this is not your fault.
Yeah.
This is a huge misunderstanding.
And he's like, yeah, sorry, guys. I was meant to kill you.
Yeah.
The boys.
And I've killed this
and
kid.
And I've killed these.
And they're like, no harm done. Honestly, let's go on it. Get out of our way. You know, we just got to keep going. We won't be pressing any charges.
Oh, God. I'm picturing it as like the dragon from Shrek.
Yeah, me too. I actually was as well because it's so emotive.
Yeah.
Well, amazing read. What do you think?
Good. Really good. A lot happened.
Lots
I'm not
of
used to
action.
That.
That's a long chapter.
Yeah.
Not just,
That was really good. Yeah. Mr. Charge of gaslighting Harry into running away with the body. Very good.
Yeah.
Pooh finally appearing. That was good. You kind of kept us guessing for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else? No, it was all good.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I'm scrolling back through. I shouldn't be scrolling through this document. It's highly secretive. I don't know what's going to happen now. I just read the chapter title, the next chapter.
Ooh, what is it?
Tease it. Now, I know there's a certain character that we said would never be mentioned again in any Harry Potter media. However, chapter 16 is called Gorby's Funeral.
Yeah.
So, classic misdirect by the author.
Yeah. Gorby will appear again, apparently.
I don't know why this is on my mind now, but... When we were talking the other day about like doing this or whatever we're talking about, my girlfriend Mel, shout out to Mel.
Yeah,
said this made me laugh so much. She's like, oh, have you? Because I feel like I mention you a lot. She goes, oh, have you heard? Hey, have you heard from Radio Mark?
No, nah.
Radio Mark.
But it must have been a misspeak.
It was a misspeak. She knows
because
you.
Because she
You've
said,
met.
Yeah, I saw her the other I day know. And she was like, hey, Mike.
Yeah, no, she knows you, but she completely misspoke. But I was like, did you say Radio Mark? And I just, me saying Radio Mark just made me laugh so much.
Radio Lark. I don't know why I said that.
But Radio Mark, it's like, it's so far from, it's so close, but
it's
so,
so
far.
It's so close, but so far. Amazing.
Anyway, that's great, Chappie.
But great, Chappie. Great to have you back on the pod. We're going to be, we might be bulk recording some of these coming up if you're free, because we're going back into a secret project that we will talk about soon. But anything to plug? Any final words?
Not really. I mean, if you're in Australia, you can watch The Cheap Seats, mm-hmm. which is a Channel 10 show that I work on.
Yep.
And I am often laughing in the background. So you'll recognize, if you hear me laughing in this podcast, rare, but you'd hear me laughing in the background of that show.
Fantastic. And
At Sam Garlop on Instagram if you really want, but that's just my personal page.
Yep, you can follow him. And as usual, all the usual places for me. See you on the next outpost. Goodbye, Hamora.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Good friends. Goodbye.
Tomorrow's another day. And the moon, the bear, and the big blue house. We'll be waiting for you to come and play, to come and play, to come and play. Bye now.
20th of Harry Potter and the Boys was brought to you by Radio Mike on Patreon and the 20th Century Boy podcast. For as little as $1 a month, get a bonus podcast every week at patreon.com/Radio Mike. And search 20th Century Boy on your favorite podcast app to hear more from me every single week. See you there. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content, stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram, and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.